What is fasting? Unger's Bible Dictionary explains that the word fast in the Bible is from the Hebrew word S-U-M. I'm assuming that's pronounced sum, meaning to cover the mouth, or from the Greek word noustuo, meaning to abstain. For spiritual purposes, it means to go without eating and drinking. You can read that in Esther 4, verse 16. Fasting is for one's spiritual health. And yet I just explained to you that for many years, my fasting produced not much at all spiritually. It's embarrassing to say out loud, but there it is. How does your fasting work for you? Do you feel enlivened at the end of the day? Do you feel closer to God? Do you feel that you really accomplish something spiritually successful in your life? Well, I can say that now because I fast differently than I did in my earlier life. Fasting is for one's spiritual health, and it involves abstaining from food and drink while spending, now listen to this part, a lot of extra time in prayer, Bible study, and meditation. The Day of Atonement, also called the fast in Acts 27:9, is the only fast day commanded by God. Leviticus 23:27, let's turn there and read that. I went downstairs last night and printed this out and then got back upstairs and realized I didn't get my large print Bible. Now that you know, I am not going back down there for that. So we'll make this one work, hopefully. Verse 27. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls, which can be interpreted to mean a fast, and offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. The Bible talks about other fast days that are mentioned in the Bible, but they are not commandments. Also, personal fasts are clearly expected of Christ's disciples. Let's read that in Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Verse 14, then the disciples of John came to him, Christ, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? In verse 15, Jesus replied, saying, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Christ said they will fast. He didn't say maybe they'll fast, we hope they'll fast. He said they will. They will fast. Jesus' statements concerning fasting are simple and very straightforward. He said his disciples will fast. Let's read that again. This time in Luke, verse 5, chapter 5, sorry. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. And Christ said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Notice in those scriptures, in the ones that we just previously read, it didn't state how long they would fast. It didn't state how often they would fast. Fasting, brethren, is an individual concern, strictly between you and Christ, our judge. You determine when you need to fast. You determine how long to fast. Leviticus 23, verse 27 through 32, which we read, is the only command regarding fasting in the Bible. And in that command, it's from sundown to sundown. No food or water for 24 hours. And the fast day is one of God's holy days. Those are the parameters that God gives us to honor him on the Day of Atonement. But he doesn't say that regarding the other times that we fast. So how long should we fast? How long we might safely fast depends on our individual health. I'm diabetic. Sometimes I have to break my fast to stay alive, literally. You may have health issues. Don't be foolish. Take care of yourself. As a matter of fact, we all fast every evening when we go to sleep. The time that we're asleep, we're not eating, we're not drinking, that describes a fast. We're going without food or drink. And that's the very reason why we call our first meal of the day breakfast, break, fast. Another point is normally we are speaking of a longer period of time, deliberately choosing ourselves not to eat or drink. It may not be a 24-hour period. If you have medications that you have to take, you need to do what's best for your own health. It can be for a whole day. It can be for part of a day. Or it can be for more than a day. You have to decide what you need to draw near to God. Only you know what's good for you in your relationship with God, if you're being honest with yourself. You can do a partial fast. We can see that described in Daniel 10. In verse 3, Daniel says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He said what he didn't eat. It makes it sound like there was other foods that he may have eaten. In other places in that story, it makes it sound like he did eat because he asked the servant to provide him with certain things. So there's a description of a partial fast. In this case, one takes in only as much food or water as necessary to be safe and spends extra time in prayer. Daniel spent 3 weeks in that fast. A healthy person who does not perspire much can go without food and water for about 3 days before their body starts to become stressed. A healthy person can go several days without food as long as they can drink water. Therefore, the 40-day fasts that were performed by Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ were possible only by God's supernatural intervention. And they were done for a reason. You can read about it in Deuteronomy 9:9. I guess we won't turn there. 1 Kings 19:8 is Elijah's, and Christ's was Luke 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy 9:9 was Moses' fast. And God was involved in each of them. The length of time that you fast, brethren, should always be the length that is right for you at that time. And you need to remain flexible. Have a goal in mind when you begin your fast. Why are you fasting? What are you trying to accomplish? Do you have a major decision you have to make about a job, moving, getting married? Is there something weighing on your mind that you want to ask for God's guidance in? Are you having a spiritual battle? Are you feeling weak spiritually? An excellent thing to use is a fast to draw near to God. If you use the fast properly, which I didn't used to do. If you begin to have health difficulties, don't be afraid to end your fast earlier than you planned. It doesn't do any good to kill yourself fasting to draw closer to God. Severe pain and discomfort may mean you have attempted to do too much too soon. Don't fast too frequently, as it takes your body time to rebuild nutritional reserves after a fast. And if you are dealing with health issues of a serious nature, make sure you consult a qualified physician first. It's important, brethren, we are not supermen. We need to be careful, but we need to fast. So why do we fast? The Bible gives examples of God's people occasionally combining fasting with their prayers so as to stir up their zeal and renew their dedication and commitment to Him. King David wrote that he humbled himself with fasting. Let's turn to Psalm 35 and read that. Psalm 35. There it is. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Notice that fasting humbles you. And we all know that vanity and God do not get along. We fast, brethren, to draw closer to God, to help us overcome sin, to get a decision from God and guidance from God. We fast to draw closer to God. Moses, Elijah, Paul, Jesus Christ himself fasted for this reason. Exodus 34:28, let's read that. Exodus 34. This Bible is not cooperating with me today. 34, verse 28. So he was there with the Eternal 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. That's physically impossible without God's help. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That was Moses drawing close to God to receive the Ten Commandments. the codified version of how God thinks and how God lives that's so important to our life. Daniel 9:3. Daniel 9, verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Eternal to make request by prayer and supplications. Daniel was looking for an answer from Christ, from God, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Eternal, my God, and made confession and said, O Eternal, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenants and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Notice the humility he already had, and yet he was seeking more, and he was seeking God's guidance. When you need God's guidance, fast. And when you fast, spend your time with God. That's where I failed. When I was young, I didn't have the time. I didn't make the time. I wasn't wise enough to know how to do that. I would go out and try to read my Bible and study in the car for an hour on my lunch hour. And I would go out to the car on my breaks and meditate. That's an hour and a half. That's not that much more than I get when I studied the Bible at home. That's not the best way to fast, brethren. Choose your fast when you can spend time with God. A couple hours of Bible study, a good length of prayer, a walk in the backyard or through the subdivision or down the dirt road, meditating on what you've studied, meditating on drawing close to God, meditating just on how great he is and how much he loves us. And then go back for round two. You can't do it 24 hours. I mean, you know, we're human. Take a break. But spend your time with God. Talk to him. Listen to him. By reading the Bible. Pick a topic and fast over that topic. Study in fasting. Study in a holy day. Study in the Sabbath. There's so much, brethren, we need to learn. None of us are as close to God as we should be. 2 Corinthians 11:27. We all need more of God in us, and we all need to have God's mind as a part of us more completely. 2 Corinthians 11:27. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often, this is Paul speaking, in cold and nakedness. Paul fasted often. But if he fasted like I fasted, he didn't accomplish much. Fortunately, I don't fast like that anymore. But brethren, if you're going to fast, do it when you have time to spend with God. Otherwise, all you're doing is just going hungry. And that's not what God wants. And then you wonder, well, I fasted. How come I don't feel closer to God? Fasting does work if you do it the right way. Matthew 4:2. And when he had fasted, this is Christ, 40 days and 40 nights, this has to be the most underestimated verse in the Bible. He was hungry. I would think so. Kind of a understatement there. But he knew the power of fasting. Christ did. Because he was preparing to battle Satan. A spiritual battle, not a physical battle. And to be prepared spiritually, you have to be close to God. And are not we battling Satan every day? Are we not fighting society every day? And do we not need more of God's help? We need to fast, brethren. It's critical to our spiritual success. It's critical to overcoming. And I don't do it enough. I need to do it more. But you know, Mary is such a good cook. I have a real temptation to deal with here. I should fast about that, shouldn't I? James 4, verse 8, tells us to draw near to God. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God. You might add there by fasting. And he will what? Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, that's not an optional statement. It's not an if or a maybe. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. If you do this, I'll do this. So, brethren, God has promised. He's promised. He will draw near to us if we draw near to him. If we deny ourselves pleasures and take in the pleasures of studying God, of learning about him, of drawing near to him, of thinking about him, of really spending time meditating. And just take the day and build it around God. There were times when I fasted on the Sabbath. The minister said I wouldn't make it a habit of doing that, but if that's the only time you can really get a good fast in, I'm not against it. But a Sabbath is a time to rejoice. So you have to decide how to handle that. But it helped me while I was still working at times. You need time with God. That's why we don't eat on atonement. We use that time to be with God. I hope we don't sleep. If all we do is sleep on atonement and drag ourselves to church and go back home and lay down, we're not getting anything out of atonement either. That's not what we should be doing. He tells us on atonement, don't even dry your shower down. Don't do any domestic work. Spend your time with me. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And what is so cool is he wants to have a relationship with us. But we have to make an effort to do that. we have to make an effort and invest our time in God. And fasting is a great way to do that. If you get weak fasting, get a Bible with that onion skin paper. That's really easy to turn. That'll help a little bit. Okay, we're down to James 4. Okay. Now, a cautionary note. We are not to fast to have people feel sorry for us or to think that we're holier than thou because we're fasting. Let's read that in Matthew 6. Fasting is personal and private. Mary has to know when I fast, so she doesn't cook for me. But nobody else does. Matthew 6, verses 16. Moreover, when you fast, not if, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, and their reward is people knowing they are fasting. I can go without that. I really don't need that. So remember, brethren, fasting is personal. Fasting is critical to your salvation. Let's turn to Isaiah 58 for a minute. Isaiah 58, it gives us both a good way to fast and a bad way to fast. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 5. Why have we fasted, they say, and you haven't seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you don't take any notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. You fast to get your own way. You fast to lord it over others. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Now in verse 6, you can read the right way to fast. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. When we're fighting a sin, when we know we have a weakness, that's an excellent time to fast, to overcome sin, to undo heavy burdens. If you're struggling with a trial, if you're having financial difficulties, marital problems, any of these heavy burdens, fast. Turn to God. Give him a chance. Let him into your life. To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. Is fasting not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? He's given us examples of how a Christian looks out to help others, tries to do good for all people. That should be the result of fasting. In verse 8 it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the eternal shall be your rear guard. Look at the blessings of fasting, brethren. Fasting does the following. Number one, fasting makes real the fact that we are not self-sufficient. If you think you are after 24 hours, go another 24 hours. I mean, to be honest, brethren, fasting is not that hard for me to do. I only eat two meals a day now as it is. I have breakfast about 8:30 and I have my lunch dinner at around 3 or 4. I have like half an egg for breakfast, a little bit of yogurt or half a grapefruit, and either half a slice of toast with cheese on it, or is it a whole slice, whatever. And if I'm feeling really bad that day, I may have one of those little tiny Costco rolls that cover up the lens of your glass that you can eat in one bite. But I break it into like 6 bites so I can enjoy it. And that's all I have for breakfast, and I don't get hungry until 3 in the afternoon. I have the digestive system of a dead snail. So, I mean, by the time a 24-hour fast is over, I'm just starting to get a little bit hungry and very thirsty. But one of the nice benefits about not drinking is you don't have to go to the bathroom all the time. So look on the positive side. So fasting makes real the fact that we are not self-sufficient. Point two, fasting helps us come to terms with the fact that we can't take care of ourselves without outside help. I could have a fully furnished kitchen with a full refrigerator and die of starvation if I didn't have my wife to feed me. I'm just not good in the kitchen. Fasting helps us realize how fragile we are. We aren't as tough as we think we are if we've gone without food for 24, 48 hours. I can promise you. Fasting helps us realize that we depend on a lot of things beyond ourselves. And fasting helps us learn the important lessons of the Day of Atonement. Forgiveness. Reconciliation to God. The need to resist Satan and pray for the time of his removal. Let's read that beautiful, beautiful verse in Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verses 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hands. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I think we'll be rejoicing when that happens. We'll be there to watch it. And it'll be an exciting moment. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. But brethren, there's the key. Satan will be removed. That will help us a great deal. And all of this was portrayed for us on atonement by the Azazel goat, which you can read in Leviticus 16, verses 20 through 22. Remember the purpose of fasting, brethren. Fasting is for your spiritual health, not mine, not your spouse's, not your children's. It's personal. between you and God. If you do fasting right, the rewards that you can get from it, the strength that you can draw from it, is incredible. It works if you do it right. If you just fast, lay down, and try to sleep through it, all you're doing is going hungry. Don't fast like that. You're wasting your time, other than it may help you health-wise. Plan your fast for a time when you can do the studying and the praying and the meditating that you need to do to draw near to God. If you can't do those things, if you have a busy day, don't fast. Don't do a spiritual fast. You may end up doing part of a physical fast. And if you're really in a bad way, but you have the morning free, fast from 6 to noon and spend that time studying, praying, and meditating. You could get 6 hours of time in with God if you skip breakfast and skip lunch. That is fasting, because you're turning to God. You're using the time that you have. If it's 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, you're using that time to draw near to God. And that's what a fast is. If you're at atonement, you have to go sundown to sundown. That's a command from God. But he doesn't command that for our yearly, monthly, weekly fasts on our own. If you can see you're heading for trouble and it's noon, you can get on your knees and call a fast with God and say, God, I'm not fasting until, I'm going to fast until 10 o'clock tonight. Because this is important and I can see I'm heading for trouble. I need you. And to show you that I know I need you, I'm going to fast. And I'm going to turn to you by study and prayer and meditation. And I'm going to seek your will. And I'm going to ask for your spirit, because I'm weak and I need you. And you show him that by fasting. If you are working and the only time you can fast is during work, study and pray during your breaks and on your lunch hour. Should you sneak in extra time? I don't think so. Now you're stealing from your boss. Do the best you can do. But you can come home, and then you could fast from 6 to 10 and skip dinner and spend the time with God. It's better to have a shorter fast and spend the time with God than to have a long fast and be so worn out and so tired and so sick that you can't do anything but lay down. You're not helping yourself spiritually by laying down and sleeping because you're so sick. Fasting is not magical. Denying yourself food and water does nothing spiritually for you, but it opens the door for you to spend more time with God. It opens the door for you to realize how weak you really are. So let's, in the final closing minutes here, let's look at some of the results of fasting. I told you it's powerful. And it is. When Jonah preached to the Gentile city of Nineveh, the whole city fasted by a command of the king. They were Gentile. They were not converted. They did not have God's Spirit. But they repented in the best way they knew how. It was temporary. It didn't last. But neither did Israel's repentance without God's Spirit. Jonah 3, 7 through 10. See if I can find that book. I practiced this morning. Obadiah, Jonah. There we go. I did it. I'm not as good with the books in the Bible anymore because I use them all on the computer. I just type in Jonah and wow, there it is. Jonah 3, verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed the king and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, see, they didn't understand the purpose of a fast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Having your dog fast doesn't accomplish anything. He didn't know that. He was a Gentile king. But he wasn't taking any chances because he didn't want to die. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell? Maybe this God will turn and relent and turn away his fierce anger so that we may not perish. God honored their fast. What would he have done if they hadn't fasted? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But here's an example of fasting and God responding. And it's beautiful. Part of fasting is turning from evil. And God was moved by their feeble attempt to fast and to please him. And he showed them mercy. Gentiles, not called, not being a part of God's plan at that time, and he honored their fast. How much more, brethren, do you think he will honor our fast if we're fasting for a right and righteous cause? Luke 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, and we have an Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, as is our Anna. But we love her to death. And had lived with a husband 7 years from her marriage. And this woman was a widow for 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Did you notice that word? What did she do? She served God through fasting. I never thought of that before I studied this. When we fast, we are serving God. And it gets more involved than that, actually. Served God with fasting and prayer night and day as she awaited God's promised Messiah. She was showing her faith in God. She was fasting for the return of, for Christ to come to earth. Her ongoing testimony to us shows that fasting is an act of worship and service before God. I never connected that before. Fasting, but When you fast, brethren, you're doing the same things we're doing here. You're studying, you're listening to a sermon maybe, you're praying, you're meditating. That's what we do during a Sabbath service. So you have an opportunity to worship God through fasting. Acts 10, verse 30. Beautiful, beautiful results from fasting, brethren. Don't be afraid to fast. Don't look at it as, oh man, I haven't fasted for 7 weeks. I guess I better do it. And don't act like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, although you may feel like it by the end of the day. Acts 10, verse 30, this is about Cornelius. And I guess I got to turn another page. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this very hour. So he's been fasting for 4 days. And at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms, your worship to God, are remembered in the sight of God. I could read more, but what this is all about is Cornelius' fast opened the door for Peter to begin preaching to the Gentiles, a vital step in the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And that was accomplished partly through a fast by a Gentile called Cornelius. The power, brethren, of fasting. God pays attention when he sees us denying ourselves. When he sees us skipping Little Debbie's and a wonderful bowl of chili to serve him in prayer and study. And he wants to answer us. He wants to respond to us because he loves us. And he loves to see us obeying him and seeking him. Fasting is one of the most powerful things you can do to build your relationship with God. And of course, we have the most powerful scene of fasting by Jesus Christ when he went to war with Satan and defeated him. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Let's turn there and look at that for a moment. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, if, testing him, trying to push his buttons, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, brethren, how can we live by every word of God if we don't spend a great deal of time sticking our nose into God's word? Fasting is the way we can do that. Successfully. Fasting is the way that gets God's attention like nothing else. So Christ won that battle. Then in verse 5, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, and he knew he was, but he wanted to upset him. He wanted Christ to say, what do you mean? Of course I'm the Son of God. Christ just blew him off. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus knew the Bible, and he was close to God because he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the eternal your God. Jesus knew what Satan was trying to do, but he had been fasting, and God was with him every step of the way. I don't even think God was probably sitting on his throne. I'm sure he was standing up watching. This was the cataclysmic moment when God's plan would win or fail. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus answered him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the eternal your God, and him only you shall serve. God was with Christ because Christ was fasting. Fasting, brethren, is one of the most powerful tools you have in your kit. The Holy Spirit, of course, I don't want to take away from that. But fasting is a tool we need to use regularly. Fasting works. I just gave you examples of it. And God loves each of you, and me, fortunately, as much as he loved Christ. And he will do for us what he did for Christ if we fast and we draw near to him. Don't make excuses. Make time. Fast. Surrender to God. Let him fill you with the power of his Spirit so that you can walk righteously before our great and loving God. Please him, brethren, please fast regularly.